Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. Your phone calls right after this.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello there, guys.
Hello, Steve.
Hello.
You know, the contrast between you guys and then when John and Henry are here, you know, here we are. We have nuts and apricots and things like that. When John and Henry are here, it's all chips.
Chips.
Everything.
Well, I'm trying to be healthy here.
It's
nuts.
Good. You know, this is a great time of year to talk about change. And all of us, we say we like change and we embrace change because that's the politically correct thing to say. But really, basically, people don't really like change that much.
I don't.
When you meet,
people get really scared of change.
Yeah, when you meet with this stubborn resistance to change and as you're counseling with someone, what do you tell people? How do they get beyond the stationary to moving into risk and adventure? Because, you know, really what it's about is risk. You won't change if you're not willing to embrace that great choice of I'm going to take a risk.
Right. Well, we have to deal with that fear of the unknown. And sometimes we have to realize that we can be holding on so tightly to the known, you know, that really it can be almost taking us under and that we need to let go in order to grab onto something new.
Yeah.
So it is hard to do that. And you need often someone to walk alongside you to do that.
And the great thing that causes people to change the most is pain.
Oh, true.
Pain in a relationship, pain in life, just getting stuck and feeling like you're trapped. Pain is the great thing to move. And I ask people all the time, how much do you want to change? How much do you want to get out of this thing? It's possible, but, you know, how painful are you?
Yeah.
How much do you really want to get out of this? Or do you like staying stuck where you are? Some people don't mind the pain, I think, as much as others at times.
Well, the benefits of whatever they're doing in their mind is outweighing the pain. The benefits of a person being 40 pounds overweight obviously outweigh the pain.
No pun intended, by the way.
But absolutely a pun intended.
Okay, all right.
Because obviously the weight is a problem. It's uncomfortable. But there are benefits there. And I think working with Lose It for Life, one of the great moments for us is when sometimes, whether it's in art, therapy with Jill or whatever, the person sees maybe for the first time, hey, I am manufacturing this. I am using this to my benefit, even though it's killing my marriage, it's killing my health and all the other things that's there.
Yeah. And I think sometimes God engineers, this is the supernatural part, I think at times God engineers these collision courses where our fantasy and reality don't quite match and we reach a level of disappointment and sometimes we decide, I got to change, I got to do something, and we feel motivated.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways people change.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want to achieve your goals, you have to be willing to change and accept some risk. And we have free tips for you, 15 keys to reaching your goals today. And then our resource is Lose It for Life. And we talk about risk in there and change. Hope that you'll pick that up at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And when you support the ministry, we send you Every Man's Bible as our way of saying thanks to you. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go right to our phone calls. Thanks for listening here today, and thanks to all of you who support us and allow us to be here for those who need help. We'll be back.
I come here to find healing from a life of abuse.
When I was 13, I was raped by two men.
What I'm going to tell you, I haven't really told anybody in maybe 10 years.
Before coming to this weekend, my emotional pain had held me captive.
I found this weekend to be very healing with my group.
The New Life Weekend is coming soon to a city near you. You'll spend the weekend with best-selling author and speaker Steve Arterburn, and New Life's group counselors will lead sessions on issues like grief, anger, depression, abuse, weight loss, and marital problems. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlifeweekend.com. Become the miracle at the next New Life Weekend, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been suffering for 26 years. And it's time to heal.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
You saved a life, literally. You saved my life.
This weekend has been illuminating.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovich, what I meant to say. I don't know what I was going to say. All right, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Amanda. Hey, Dallas. Hey, Amanda. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I just had a question. My husband and I have been married for 2.5 years, and we dated for 3 years before we got married. And when he was in sixth grade, I think he was diagnosed with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is that he had been on Ritalin for a period of time, but I guess when he was around 17, he didn't want to take it anymore, and he wouldn't really talk about it. And I called his dad, and he said it was because he was embarrassed about the problem. But I'm noticing a lot of things, you know, now mm-hmm. that are going on because of that. And
right.
I was wanting to know, like, what's the best way to maybe approach that in a conversation without it ending up, you know, being something negative where he feels embarrassed or he doesn't, you know, maybe want to deal with that because it does cause a lot of problems now.
Mm-hmm.
Does he know you talked to your dad, his dad?
No, I just called him a few minutes ago to ask him what it was that he had.
So obviously you knew something about it.
Yeah,
so it's been a topic of conversation somewhere.
Yeah, I had been listening to a program that had been on, and a lady was talking about ADD, and it just sort of clicked because I'd heard her talking about some of the problems that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, just kind of put the correlation together, you know, that some of the things that she talked about were things that I was recognizing.
Give me right. three quick things that you see happening that is making you think that this is rearing its head again.
Just really forgetful, mm-hmm. really can't concentrate on anything,
mm-hmm.
gets distracted,
mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like we'll go somewhere completely supposed to be there for 15 minutes, comes back 2 hours later, just completely forgot the time
mm-hmm.
passed by,
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Those are good indicators. Jill?
Right. Well, it sounds like you want to be really sensitive to your husband, Amanda,
uh-huh.
and that you're aware that this is a painful issue for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so it might be something that you have to kind of approach gradually, you know, with a little bit of time. And are you and your husband comfortable about, like, talking about his experiences in high school? And, you know, do you ever ask him questions about what was that like for you? And what was the hardest thing about that time in your life? And, I mean, do you talk about that?
Other issues, this really hasn't even been something that has been talked about and kind of, I guess, just forgotten and covered up. And
mm-hmm.
just dealing, we've been dealing, you know, kind of with the result of this problem, but really never recognizing
right.
what was the cause of the problem. And so I think he's frustrated because these things happen, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cause of the problem isn't ever really dealt with. And so he probably feels, you know, not very good about himself because
well absolutely he doesn't feel good about himself, you know, when you're trying to control your behavior, you know, and you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very frustrating and makes you feel very low about yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's probably a part of him that thinks he should be able to
yeah.
and that doesn't want to deal with the fact that in having the ADHD he has a limitation
yeah.
that's very, very real. And yet it can look like flakiness and passive-aggressiveness
yeah, and I know
incompetence.
I've gotten frustrated with him before, not realizing really, you know, what
right,
was the cause of the problem.
Right. So I think if you can approach it as this is something that he has some shame about, but to be sensitive to him and say, well, sweetheart, let's look at some of the issues that you're having. And
mm-hmm.
maybe let's talk about when this started and how this developed and, you know, what was it like for you when you were younger?
Mm-hmm.
And let him know that you don't feel badly towards him because of these things, but you think that there's actually a cause and a reason for some of these things that you're seeing, that there's probably a thread that ties them all together. And if you approach them really lovingly and sensitively and kind of create an environment where he can open up to you about this, I think you'll get more mileage.
And also, is ADHD something that is that would be passed on? I'm pregnant with our first child.
Yes, it is hereditary.
Okay, so something that we should probably watch.
It
so,
is something that, yeah, that it gets passed on.
So good luck with two people in
your
family.
Yeah.
I just want to say
you'll
something.
You'll become an expert.
I want to say something to all those people who have ADD, ADHD. It's hell living with you. You know, I mean, really, it is really tough living with us. And if we can acknowledge that, you know, it goes a long way when somebody with ADHD says to their partner, I realize how tough it is dealing with me. And I'm going to do the best I can to minimize the effects on you. Don't you think that'd feel good if you just heard that frequently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for
it
agreeing.
It would definitely help. Thank
and,
you.
And you know, ADD, ADHD are often underdiagnosed in adults.
Right.
And
it does persist, Mylan, from, you know, adult childhood adolescence
into adulthood. Yeah, and it carries on. And so adults struggle so much in life with trying to do well on jobs and stay there and have your... Yeah, stay with your head in the family game and the marriage game. And Jill, I think you just gave some great advice. Just begin to talk about it, do it gradually, do it lovingly, be sensitive as to his shame. But you have to break the sound barrier and begin talking
about
it.
Right, you do. You do. And it may mean that he has to go back on medication. I've seen a lot of marriages turned around where they came in for marital therapy, and we got the person on medication, and it totally changed their marriage.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so true, Jill.
That was the key to the problem.
We've experienced that a lot over at our office, too.
I quit taking all medication for ADD.
Yeah, we know, Steve.
No. Well,
I'm teasing you.
But then, you know, you did know. And I got back on the medication. Because I was just wanting to see, okay, well, I've been through some things, and now I'm growing. And so what am I like at now? I was the same. So I needed that. You know, it's just difficult for all of us to accept that need, and I hope that he will experiment. I don't use that word irresponsibly, but that he would experiment through the help of a physician with different types of things until he finds what would work the best for him.
Okay.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you for your call. God bless you. I'm going to send you a copy of. You don't have a weight problem, do you?
I don't, but he has had some problems since he's been off the medication he was on when he was a teenager.
I wouldn't want to. Sin, lose it for life, and you give it to him because that may not build a bond between you. Let me send you every man's Bible, and it'll be
better
a gift
choice.
To him, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you there. You are listening to New Life Live. Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard here answering your questions. Let's go to Bev. Bev is calling from Levittown, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi there.
Hello. God bless you and your ministry. It's just a wonderful ministry, and I listen to it practically every day.
Thank you.
I'll just get right to the point.
Okay.
My husband and I have three children, two biological children, adult, out of the house. We adopted a boy about 6 years ago when he was 13. He's now 19. He's a great young man. He has an inner drive. He's just a wonderful blessing to us. But he really has a lot of effects from his orphanage life. He was born in prison, lived in orphanage all of his life, very poor conditions, physical abuse, starvation, all kinds of things, bad examples of men raised by women.
Yeah.
So he does display a lot of feminine characteristics. And he's very artsy and creative, which that's fine, you know. But my concern is recently as we talk, as he's, you know, getting a little bit older now and growing into a young man, we've been giving him a lot of books, and we've been having a lot of discussions with him, and he seems to have expressed no desire. He doesn't have an attraction for women at all, and he doesn't have a desire to date or anything like that, and I think sometimes he struggles with just his peers. He kind of tattletales on his peers when they're talking about, I guess, maybe some of their sexual behavior or inappropriate behavior. And I'm just wondering, should I be concerned, and what can my husband and I do about that?
Okay. Your husband, how deep is his connection with this boy?
He's pretty connected. He tries real hard. one of our goals is to teach him how to be a man, of course, and that is my husband's opportunity mm-hmm. to do that. You know, he usually takes the opportunity to do that. Hard because he's not he doesn't like the things my husband likes to do, like hunting and fishing. So my husband kind of comes alongside of him and takes up some of the things that he enjoys doing. But it's not in depth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little detachment kind of syndrome there.
Your husband does?
Not my husband, the boy, mm-hmm. my son. Mm-hmm. He's a little closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A little bit more close. But my husband tries real hard. I mean, he spends a lot of time with them, and he has the time to spend with them, too, because our other kids are grown up, you know.
Does he hug him, love him?
Yeah.
Has he been affectionate with him?
Yep.
That's great.
Because, you know, you say, what can we do? Well, that's one thing you can do, mm-hmm. and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do is hang on tight. Mm-hmm. You know, say to yourself, no matter what happens here, we're going to be with this with him, whatever he goes through.
Well, and to give him that message.
Yeah.
That you're going to hang in there with him. Because this is a boy that you got at 13. He had, you know, his formative years without you. Mm-hmm. And so there's some things that have gone on there that you have no control over.
Yeah.
And you can't influence. But you know what? You can balance out the scales. All the stuff that happened to him before, you're balancing the other side of the scales and giving him something positive to compare to.
Well, I don't think he has homosexual desires. I think he struggles with his sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's where my husband can come in and try to, you know, help him with that. But it's really
so can you,
I
so can
really
you, Beverly. You can
Pardon?
Help him there too.
Yeah,
it's not just your husband's role to help in that arena; it is your role as well. But I think sometimes it could be that your son is also a very sensitive. Or a highly sensitive type of a person that is creative and expressive and responsive and intuitive and perhaps also a feeler. And oftentimes people like that are misunderstood. And there's a lot of you talked about him being creative and artsy. And I think that you can have those traits and characteristics and be that way and not necessarily be, as you said, homosexual or gay, but that they can be celebrated. And some of these people become some of the finest entertainers and singers and writers and composers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people we go watch on TV and go to plays to watch.
Right.
And so there is this
but
that we must be aware of.
Right. You know, because they are so sensitive, they often have kind of a dark, melancholy side
mm-hmm.
to them as well.
Yep.
So to be, you know, to be aware of his feelings and give him opportunity to talk
and
or at least invite him into
and
that.
Sometimes the world wants to tell someone that sensitive, well, this means you are gay.
Oh,
or something
right.
like
this
that.
This is what he's getting out
and,
from his friends.
Right, and that's why I bring it up. And that's not the truth. I really want to just really encourage you to not buy into that and encourage him not to buy into that.
Okay.
A great book for you.
It's hard because I really, really worry about him. He's such a good kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's so different from others. He comes from a different culture, different country, and he's I don't know.
So you guys praise him for his uniqueness.
We do. And
you know?
We surrender him to the Lord every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a wonderful kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to really be something someday. Really is. But
that's
just,
great.
He's just a little concerned in that area.
Yeah.
You know?
Strong male counselor who is connecting and
sensitive.
You know, in Milan, I know many times when a guy comes in to see Milan, he starts with a big hug or when the session's over, there's a big hug there so that there's a connection beyond just words. That kind of situation could be helpful to
him. And you know what, Steve? It's really fascinating to me. I have guys come into my office wanting to learn how to be more sensitive so they can learn to connect. I also have very sensitive men come into my office asking how they can learn to be more masculine. And it's fun to embrace both of those because I think Jesus was a perfect blend of both. He had the strong male characteristics that we attribute to men, and he also had these sensitive qualities that we oftentimes, perhaps inaccurately, only attribute to females. And he was both. He was a blend. He was amazing.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people say, is homosexuality predisposed, and is the person predisposed to this? Is it genetic? And, you know, one of the things that I say just from my experience over the years, I think the homosexual is predisposed to being rejected,
mm-hmm.
because they don't necessarily do the things that dads expect their sons mm-hmm. to do many
right.
times. And if there's a common thread, it's that feeling alienated and different.
Right.
And if somebody doesn't affirm that, then you've got these friends saying, well, hey, there are other alienated and different people here. And they've sexualized this thing. And
right.
that's how they've resolved it. And they're living the life you should live. And you should join them. You have to have that connection that isn't sexualized.
Which is easy to do when you're 19 and your testosterone is at its full bloom, you know, and you've
yeah.
got a peak of sexuality occurring. And it's easy to interpret that as that is the, where I need to go. The disenfranchised do like to cling together.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break and come right back after this with more of New Life Live. You need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got some great resources and some great counselors that we want to put you in touch with.
I looked at him, I said, what is wrong with you? You look like a monster. He said, I'm addicted to pornography.
Every day, thousands of women discover their husband is struggling with sexual integrity. Pornography, affairs, lust.
After I found the pornography on the internet, I said, you either go get help or I have to leave this household. He said, I don't need this.
There is hope. New Life's Every Man's Battle workshop can help.
Every Man's Battle, I fought it the whole week with my wife when she gave me the ultimatum of going or not. Within 2 hours, you could have opened a book and showed me where my life has been ever since I was a little boy.
Call us today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and find out how your husband could be the man you've always dreamed of.
He called me and he said, this may have saved my life.
Every Man's Battle was a life-changing experience for me and a marriage-saving experience for me.
Register now to reserve a place at the next Every Man's Battle workshop. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Arterburn at New Life. Ever wonder if you're going to be happy again? Well, maybe the reason you're struggling is because there's an alcohol or drug addiction that you need to deal with. And if so, we want you to come to the New Life Recovery Center, where we will provide you with counseling, group, individual, family, and other forms of treatment to get this problem taken care of. Now, we love providing a Christ-centered, safe, structured place where you can recover or someone that you love can recover. So call us right now and ask about New Life's Recovery Center, where we measure success by how many people experience freedom and that amazing word, happiness. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com to find out more about New Life's Recovery Center. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovich. And let's talk about a difficult subject. I know what's coming up here. I know his question. Let's go to Brad in Lynnville, Massachusetts. Brad, how you doing?
Yes, Steve. What I'm interested in is how you overcame your ADHD and when you first realized you had that.
Overcome?
I'm chuckling because they sit here in the studio and watch me do several things at one time. And so I wouldn't say that I've overcome it. I've just learned to work with it and not be frustrated, when it gets in the way of something. I think.
Well, you learn to accept it and
right.
then manage it.
Right. You know, there are people that have, they've run ministries in a much different way where they are in control of every area and they make every decision. And if I was envious or jealous of them, I would be pretty miserable because I can't operate that way. Details for me are very difficult to grasp. Sitting down in a meeting longer than 7 minutes. No, I can go longer than seven. But I just have to accept that that's who I am. But there are times, as you know, when I can hyper-focus. Mm-hmm. I can get down to business. I can write a book. I just finished 76,000-word manuscript because I had to do it, and I got it done. It wasn't easy. So I don't know. I think you go from trying to fight it to go with it and mm-hmm. start to work.
And some
with
of the strengths
it.
Are like Steve. You have all kinds of great ideas.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes, you know, people have to catch all of them, but you have wonderful things to offer.
And then you do pull a lot of people around you to help support
yes.
people
right.
that
mm-hmm.
execute the details,
yep.
you know, are structured people, people of maintenance and, mm-hmm. and
which
know
creates
how
to, an interdependence, which
right.
is wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps you, Brad, but that's.
Yeah. I heard about the Door Center. Do you know anything about the, I first found out a month ago. On from folks in the family, Dr. Dobson's ministry, that I had ADHD,
mm-hmm.
had a program, and the man had written a book, and his wife helped him write the book, and I realized that probably 15 out of the 20 symptoms he had were me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did the same thing. I was watching a television show, and
okay.
and I hear this person talking, and I said, wow, that is my life. Exactly.
Right.
And it was such a great feeling that I had found somebody else that had the same thing. I felt sorry for him, but it was a great feeling.
Hey, Brad, have you ever watched that TV show Extreme Makeover Home Edition or House Edition?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yes.
The guy that does that, Ty, is that his name, Ty, something
yeah,
or other?
That wild and crazy guy.
Yeah, that wild and crazy guy. I heard him on TV, and he talked about himself being ADD
oh,
or
really?
ADHD. And which you kind of said, a wild and crazy guy. And he said, and, you know, he does amazing things in this
mm-hmm.
show. And he warms people's hearts. He's got phenomenal capacities. But he said that medication was a thing that changed his life. And he is on a national touring campaign talking about the value of certain medications to help manage this particular problem in his life. And you should have just heard him. He cried. He said, "I, my life, I could not do things." And he said, "School was so hard for me." And he had tears in his eyes. And he just said, "This medication has absolutely changed my life." And so I just share that story with you. It's a wonderful story
yeah.
about God using people.
Yeah.
And how something really helped him.
When I read scripture, it says that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. There are many times that I focus more on the fearful. people are afraid of that ADD thing, but it can be wonderful
yeah,
if you work with it.
Now, the Door Centers that I heard about.
If Dobson's talking about it, I'm sure it's wonderful.
Okay. Now, basically what they do is I do physical tests like with my eyes or balance tests,
yeah.
and it straightens out the cortex part of my brain.
Huh. I'm not familiar with that center. No, and I've never done that. I need the cortex of my brain straightened out, but I have never
yeah.
done that.
Okay.
Anything else we could help you with?
Just if you and the folks could pray that I quit smoking.
Well, that's not going to help you.
Okay.
Until you decide to quit smoking.
Okay.
Now, we'll pray that you'll decide.
To
quit smoking, but okay. you have a choice. And it's a choice I had to make, too. So we have two things in common.
Yeah, really.
And my smoking was something I was very ashamed of and always felt like a second-class Christian. Do you?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel embarrassed. If I go down the street and I'm a Christian and I have a Bible in, you know,
yeah.
in my car, and I don't want to have set a bad example.
Well, but and also, you know, now that there is just so much evidence that it just produces horrible health in every way.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you look stupid to people. You know, you feel like people are looking at you thinking you're out of control, you're irresponsible. That kind of shame you put on yourself. And so eventually one day, you know, it just got to be too much and I was able to quit.
Okay.
But I quit because I... you know, I committed not just to quit smoking, but I would never touch a pack of cigarettes or the cellophane around one. And you know, I was even, you know, picking up cigarette packages out of my car that people left there with ice tongs, things like that.
Because
I was not ever going to touch a package again.
So you really made a commitment.
Unless you do, Brad, it won't work.
Right.
It's one of the hardest addictions
yeah.
to kick.
And there are so many smoking cessation programs that you can become a part of National Cancer Society, things like that can tell you about it. We'll be back right after this.
The other day, my son went into the most hideous pornographic site that I could imagine.
I have a 13-year-old son, and I saw that he was on porn sites. I don't have any filters or anything like that.
What do these callers have in common? If they had had New Life's SafeEyes software filter, they might not be calling us. This is Steve Arterburn, and the SafeEyes filter blocks harmful websites and creates logs of every website visited and every instant message chat. You can set the times of day that the internet may be used and even set it up to send you an email or text message every time someone visits an inappropriate website. SafeEyes is both PC and Mac compatible. Now, if you're a parent, please make sure to protect your kids from the dangers on the internet. If you're looking for a way to be accountable to your spouse for your purity, the SafeEyes filter will show you're serious. Download the filter today at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill Hubbard. Years ago, before ever being on the radio, I was a listener just like you, wondering, do the boys really know what they're talking about? But I realized this ministry is much bigger than that. It's really a way of offering comfort and hope so that people's lives can be more functional, more intimate, and more connected. As just one person, sometimes it's hard to feel like we can make a difference in helping ourselves and others. But one of the best ways I've found is by joining Club New Life. Club New Life is our monthly giving program. As a part of Club New Life, it's not just you giving to New Life, but it's New Life giving back to you as well. We start by sending you a Life Recovery Bible, and then every month you'll receive books, CDs, and other great stuff. I've signed up many of my family members, so now I'm asking you to become part of our New Life family. It's as easy as calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are ready to hear from you. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. The world has Dr. Phil, we have Dr. Jill, and we're better for it. That's what we believe around here.
She's cuter than Dr. Phil.
Yes, she is. Vicki from Chicago, Illinois, listens to WYLL. Hello, Vicki.
Hello there. How are you guys?
Good. Good. How about you?
Okay. It's been a rough week, but I'll go right to the question.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide if I should do a legal separation versus a divorce. We've been battling with some infidelity, and I keep finding phone numbers and cell phone bills as a different young lady's number. We did the counseling, the Christian counseling. We're both in church. We did that for about 11 months, and right now I'm very emotional, and I really want out, but I'm not sure if I should try the legal way as far as the legal separation or just divorce.
Are you guys separated physically right now?
No.
You're still living in the same household?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And have you looked at kind of the pros and cons of either? I mean, why would you choose legal separation?
I thought legal separation only because I'm really not ready to divorce. I would like for it to have some type of restoration.
Good, okay. Then legal separation is a great option to, you know, especially if you have any fear of the financial situation or that, you know, sometimes somebody when they're in kind of that acting out more addictive state with infidelity, they can often go through the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can help you to really set some boundaries with him while at the same time saying, I'm not ready to be divorced, and I'm not sure I want to go that direction. I want to work on our marriage, but let's have some boundaries here so that it's safe for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great option because then, you know, if you do move into divorce, then you can, you know, then you can do that after the fact. I mean, you have to do a lot of things that you would do for divorce.
Okay.
But it's a good intermediate step if you want to have some time.
And I think the other thing it does, Jill, it declares your intentions.
Right.
You're saying, I want this thing to work, but I'm going to draw a boundary because mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you take advantage of me. And I mm-hmm. want to show some distance here so that you know I mean business. But it mm-hmm. declares the intentionality, a la 1 Corinthians 7, that discusses the possibility of this, that I want to have you back. You said that. You said, I'm not ready for a divorce. And that's what separation does for you. Now, I also tell people who are going through a divorce or their spouse has filed a divorce, you know, two things. Number one, you can always stop a divorce from continuing. And the other thing is you can always get remarried again if things were to change. That happens.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mylan, when you do set divorce in motion, then a whole bunch of other feelings come up for
people
start getting very protective and territorial. And
Adversarial,
yeah. Yes.
But that's why I like the idea of a separation. It says, no more. I'm not going to put up with this, but I'm going to draw boundaries to protect. But my intentionality is I'd like to be back together. I like that.
And you need to verbalize that, too.
Okay.
And a final note. Do whatever you can to keep that marriage together and to start growing together.
It just hurts so bad, you know.
Oh, of course it does.
Vicky, it hurts
Vicky, it's
so
the worst hurt
bad.
In the whole world.
It crushes me. And when I'm walking through the house and I see him.
Yeah.
It just makes me so angry, and I don't want him here. And he's told me before that he's not leaving. I have no intentions on leaving, you know. We can work through this, but how can we work through it? And you just keep doing the same thing.
Right. And Vicky, in some ways, he's already left. He just hasn't left physically.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, and maybe you need to even say to him, but you've already left.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come back, let's talk about you coming back emotionally.
And still feeling used, you know, even if I'm just so concerned that even if he did tell me those things,
right,
you know,
you're
be
not
really
sure what
nice
you
for,
want.
Let's say, a good 2 weeks or 3 weeks to a month, and then right back at it, I feel so used.
Of course you do, and you're going to have a whole host of feelings. You really need a support system around you, Vicky. You need friends that you can call at all different times of the day, people that you can kind of talk, because you need to talk a lot about what's going on. And so you need people to be sounding boards for you, people that will give you wise counsel and will just love you through this so that you can go up and down with the emotions so that you can do the things you need to do with him.
Well, let's just hope and pray that this kind of gets him off dead center. He knows what, you know, that he just can't treat you the same way forever. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will lead to some healing.
And both Vicky and her husband need to adjust to the idea that it will take months, not weeks, to prove trust.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
A lot of people who are in this situation, like Vicky's husband, will say, you know, look, we've been doing good for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, come on, what's the matter with you, Vicky? We've been doing wonderful for four weeks.
How could you still be angry?
Yeah, how could you be angry at me? Look at me. I haven't done this for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of months that we prove ourselves, long months. And that's what we want to be looking for. That's why a separation makes it that way.
And,
a separation,
and it's not his words that you can accept.
Right.
It's the behavior you're going to have to see.
And how well he pursues you and how what he decides to do to prove himself to you. He has violated your confidence and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys recommend anything that I can just read?
Well, boundaries in marriage.
How about Surviving an Affair?
We have that book by
the Harleys.
Yeah, and then... Every Heart Restored.
Yes, those would be great books.
Okay.
So we'll send you a little library here.
Oh, you guys said, okay. Thank you.
You'll
so
take
much.
It.
All right. I'm so sorry that this is
sorry,
what you're having
Vicky.
To go through, and just pray that there could be some healing there.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Vicky.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, you know, Vicky is not alone here. There's
so many
other Vickys out there and other men out there, too, that are in the same position. And I think we need to really get what a separation does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got some workshops, and Every Heart Restored is one, and I wish Vicky could go. And if you're struggling with sexual sin in your husband and you'd like some healing for you, send him to Every Man's Battle, and you go to Every Heart Restored. These are things that initiate transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're so glad to get to be a part of it. And we're part of it because people support this ministry. So, and if you can support us, call us. But if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that is the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we really do want to help you, and so grateful that we get to. Let's go to Bob in Pittsburgh. He listens to WORD. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. I guess that's a lie. Anyways, yeah, I'd like to. My wife is. Whenever she has, she gets hurt very, very easily, or she's very sensitive. And whenever she is, she's comes at me in a very hostile and disrespectful manner. Now, we've got your book, Boundaries in Marriage, and also Love and Respect by Dr. Eckridge, right?
Yeah,
Emerson.
Right.
And they're all good. And we've been married a little over a year and a half, and she's probably left 10 times in that year and a half. Her past is she had an adulterous affair, and when they were split up and her husband broke through the window of her apartment while she was at work and murdered the guy, and he's in jail for prison now. And it's what I have a hard time doing is it's happened so many times where she comes at me just like a hammer, just hammering at me. And I've tried to, you know, say stay calm and respond to her. And it's always during her premenstrual cycle period also, right before.
So it exacerbates it.
And she's been on different meds. But anyway, she's I've said, you know, this always happens here. It's happening again. You know, you got to stop. You know, whenever she says something and I don't accept her opinion on it, and she won't allow me to have my own and just keeps on hammering me. And then a fight starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking for a half hour, 45 minutes of hammering before I respond in a negative way. And
Bob, what happens when you, instead of going straight to your opinion, do you kind of reflect back to her what she's saying to you? Do you let her know that you've gotten it?
Sure, but if it's not in agreement with her,
okay. So even if you say, okay, I hear what you're saying, and this is what I hear you saying, am I right? And she says, yeah, you're right. And you say, okay, now I have a slightly different opinion. Are you willing to listen to my opinion or my view of things?
Well, even if I say it just like that,
mm-hmm.
and if it's not in agreement with her,
there's no room for your opinion.
No, there's no room for my opinion. And that's where I just keep on getting hammered with it. And
well, that
I'm
is tough.
At the end of my ropes here with it. It's just all the leaving and all, you know, she just came back. She left Thanksgiving, went down to South Carolina, and she moved back again a week later.
Bob, let me
she's been to different therapists, and what happens is, now this has happened so frequently that I can forgive her.
Bob, hold on, I've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Up to 1 million will die from it. Think of it, up to 1 million girls dead. It's time to recognize that anorexia or bulimia is not a diet. It's a disease, and treatment's required. Bermuda Ranch has treated nearly 8,000 women and girls, and they've had great success. A full 95% of patients remain in recovery after discharge, an outcome that appears unmatched by any other treatment center in the world. Now, Bermuda Ranch has added a program to treat anxiety disorders. Their new inpatient program is designed to treat adolescent girls and children suffering from obsessive-compulsive disorder, panic disorder, phobias, and social anxiety. Call New Life today for more information at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking to Bob, and Bob, we agree this is a really tough situation to be living in.
Yeah, and Bob, you know, this probably started a long time ago for her, you know, developing out of her childhood this way of relating that is extreme, and that there's no in-between for her. It sounds like she's either one way or she's the complete opposite. She's
right,
she's sensitive, she's a sweetheart,
blue,
or she's raging. It goes from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds.
Never know what you're gonna get when you go home.
And I can get that way also. I mean, after the fact, it's, are you still there?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, okay, I thought I lost the connection. Anyways, what her complaint is that she says that I punish her after she comes back. She always comes back later and says she's sorry, she knows it's her fault.
Okay.
But I forgive her in my heart, but it takes me a while. It's happened so many times. She wants me to get over instantly, act normal instantly, and I try to explain to her, it's going to take me a while. It takes me a day sometimes. Sometimes it takes me an hour. Sometimes it takes me up to 3 days to process,
Bob,
to see what's happening, and she doesn't give me that time.
Bob, what's interesting here is that she can feel such massive shifts so quickly inside of her. From good to bad, and then guilt and remorse, and then back to good again, and then bad. They're so quick. She expects you to be able to change as quickly as she does.
Exactly.
And so this is a pattern that we see in people all the time. Mm-hmm. These people are what, on one part of continuum, we would call it like an ambivalent attachment, where they are very sensitive about closeness and distance. They've been hurt by abandonment in the past, and they are very much attuned to people hurting them. And they don't realize that so much of the injury is within themselves. They interpret your behaviors as rejection, and so they lash out in rage. At the other side of the continuum is borderline personality disorder, and somewhere in between, people have traits and characteristics of borderline traits and characteristics. Which is what you're describing. You're describing all these patterns, and you're describing to a T how these people behave. So it's not just your wife. It's a person who is like this pattern that has been observed and seen. Jill, you had perhaps a reading recommendation for
Bob.
Oh,
yeah. We were talking about a book for you called
Stop Walking on
Eggshells
by Mason.
That would be something. Well, it would be a book that would be helpful in helping you understand the dynamic that goes on for your wife.
And what for you.
And what you can do about
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's leaving again. Every 2 months she's
gone.
Let me just say
to you, you know, on the one hand, to be, you know, sensitive to the hurts that she has experienced through her life and to show that loving care while at the same time setting firm limits with her. She needs, people with borderline traits need some structure, because all the empathy in the world will not do it. They need to know kind of where they stop and you begin, because they don't know that.
That's what I've tried to explain to her. She wants me to say, the other night I just came home and she was making chicken cacciatore, and I just said, hey, that's not the right pan to be using. And she said that was very unloving comment to make to her, and I'm like, oh, I don't get it. See, when it starts off like that out of the blue,
well, I would say,
given
your situation though, you might want to just go ahead and let her use whatever pan she's using. You know, it's just
yeah. But the thing is, my mother said the same thing. I don't care really. It's just that when that time comes, I say things that I don't know are going to set her off, and they set her off. So it's kind of like I'm in a guessing game.
You are, and that's what, hence the title, Stop Walking on Eggshells. When you're walking around in a guessing game, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. You don't know what's going to happen next. But Bob, the other thing that's really important for you to do is to even take a hard, let this cause you to take a hard look at you. You know, why... what was it that caused you to be attracted to her? What did she do that caused you to fall for her seductive side. What did she do to pull you in? And what was it about you that needed that? And these are important things. And I would ask, Bob, do you have a... Are you controlling? Is it hard for you to not walk in and try to correct her on something? Do you tend to be controlling?
Or critical?
She says so, but after I think that it's really the other way around, given the circumstances mm-hmm. of not letting me have my own viewpoint and stuff. I mean, I don't feel that I'm controlling. I sometimes I see it and I apologize for it. And
Bob.
Yes.
Telling her to use a different pan is controlling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a controlling behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
And
huh?
Critical.
Yeah.
Yep. Critical, controlling, sensitive area. Nobody can cook like mom. Now you're even using the wrong pan. Many times a woman hears you, stupid idiot. You can't cook. You can't even pick the right pan. That's what they're hearing. And it is evidence.
But it wasn't that way, you see?
I know. I didn't say you said it that way.
We're
I
not
said,
saying you meant that.
I said that if you got inside her head, she might have heard it that way. And part of being controlling is not ever stepping back and saying, how am I being heard? Not mm-hmm. how am I talking, but how am I being heard? So what Mylan said was, work on yourself. And that's why all of us in difficult relationships, we need to work on ourselves. That's the one thing we know we can do. I am totally out of time. I'm so sorry. Let me send you Who's Pushing Your Buttons by John Townsend. She's pushing yours, and maybe you're pushing hers. You guys could read that together. Maybe it would be good. Well, we're just about out of time. 15 Keys to Reaching Your Goals are our free tips. Our resource is Lose It for Life. It's the book that all the intensives and the and our institute are based on. And Every Man's Bible is our gift to all those who support us, and we're so grateful when you do support us. Our workshops, the Every Man's Battle Workshop, Lose It for Life, Every Heart Restored, all of those are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And then, of course, the Calvary Center and our Christian counseling. You can find about all of those things at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Mylan, as we close out the program, share some wisdom from God's Word with us.
Well, when people are hurt, they need to be listened to. And the Bible says in James, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the idea of being quick to hear is to pull as much information into your ears by mm-hmm. asking probative questions and asking the person their feelings and their thoughts. And it's so rarely does anybody not want to be heard. God is so wise as
How
he
true.
Tells us this, that we're so quick to speak, so quick to anger, but we struggle to slow down to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God calls us to this, and this could absolutely change Bob's relationship with his wife.
Listening. Mm-hmm. What a concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honey, what hurt when you were a little girl? What you know, what was it like growing up for you? How long did you feel that way? Who didn't listen to you? Who abandoned you?
Mm.
Great questions.
Great questions.
Quick to
All
hear.
Right. You know, so many times if we're difficult people, we try to justify our behavior, and really all it does, it leads to an escalation of the mm-hmm. problem.
And I tell people, take whatever this is, whatever the problem, the pan, the chicken cacciatore, just put it aside for a minute and just lay it aside. And then stop and ask the person, what are you feeling right now? And how does this resemble how you felt as a child?
Mm. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we really do want to help you. We have a lot of resources available, including counselors in your area, treatment programs, people that specialize in the impossible situations, and our New Life Weekend and Every Man's Battle. All of that to help people transition to transformation, rather than holding your ground and defending where you've been, to courageously move where you've never been before into adulthood, maturity, character. What do you take to heaven? You take your character with your soul. And so you can build up your character by making a bold move to get some help outside of yourself. You do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can sign up for stuff online. Okay, thanks for being here. Thanks, Dr. Jill and Mylan and all of you who listen, all of you who support us. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.